And on ABC Radio and on your pod, you're with me, Noel Debien, on The Good Life. Well, have you ever been told to wake up to yourself? In a much, much more polite way, that's what Buddhism is really all about. Waking up, becoming more conscious. It's very diverse in this country, Buddhism. It ranges from Zen to Tibetan Lamaism, from Theravadan monks to Vipassana meditation, just to name a few examples. It's the fastest growing religion in Australia by percentage, and there's now nearly 500,000 Buddhists right around the country. Some are ethnic Buddhists, migrants from places like Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Sri Lanka, but many are Anglo-Saxons and Anglo-Celt converts to this originally Eastern religion. Since the beginning of May, Buddhists right around Australia's major capitals have been marking the birthday of the Buddha. The date varies depending on your tradition, but there have been cultural expos, art exhibitions, baby blessings, drumming and dancing, processions, peace activism. They've all been featuring. You might also like to pop into a Buddhist temple and explore. You may be interested in calligraphy, or perhaps taking part in a tea ceremony. And certainly food festivals have been a very significant part of it. There have been, of course, plenty of meditation sessions and chanting.
I'm Brian White, President of the Buddhist Council of New South Wales.
Brian, thanks for joining us. This is a special month for Buddhists right around the country, I think.
It is, Noel. It's the busiest month for the Buddhist community across Australia. It's when most things happen.
It's Buddha's birthday, I think. That's the big thing, isn't it? Vesak.
Yes, well, that's a little bit complicated because there are different traditions within Buddhism.
Well, there's different dates, aren't there?
Yes, there are different dates and different events, depending on which culture, which tradition within Buddhism you're talking about. But generally, within the month of May, most of the activity and the festivities and celebrations are happening across Australia.
It works, I think, Buddhism on a lunar calendar, if I'm remembering properly, too, doesn't it?
It does, actually. Most of the Asian countries, where a lot of the Buddhists in Australia have come from, use a lunar calendar. So you've got various New Year's celebrations, and also the Buddhist calendar is tied into the lunar calendar.
So in Australia, what date will most people say is Buddha's birthday?
Well, the Sri Lankan, Burmese, Thai and Cambodian Buddhists generally would be celebrating the full moon, which is around the 17th of May this year. And that has a triple significance. Three things are actually celebrated on that day for that group of Buddhists: the birth, the enlightenment and the passing away of the Buddha.
Oh, they do all three on the same date?
It's a kind of a combined celebration, which is called Vesak, V-E-S-A-K. But then a lot of the other Buddhists across the community that emanate from countries like Vietnam, China, Korea, Taiwan, etc., Japan, would be celebrating a different date during May, a little bit earlier. But that would be celebrating the birth of the Buddha.
There's a lot of converts in this country. In fact, I think the census tells us that Buddhism is, per capita anyway, percentage-wise, Buddhism is the fastest-growing religion in this country, which means not only immigrant Buddhists, but also Australians adopting this.
Yes, about a quarter, by a rough calculation, about a quarter of Australia's 500,000 Buddhists are what you might call Western or Caucasian converts, coming to Buddhism later in life. And the other three quarters would be what you might call the Asian Buddhist families that have come here through immigration.
So if you go to a big Chinese or Vietnamese centre, you're going to find lots of Buddhists there, of course.
Of course.
Am I right in guessing then that if you're a Western Buddhist who's converted, you're more likely to celebrate the date according to the type of Buddhism you've adopted, which is often connected to an ethnicity as well?
That's right, because there are basically three broad groupings within Buddhism: the Tibetan group, the Mahayana group and the Theravadan group, all emanating from different countries, but as Westerners come into those different groups, they will adopt the festivities and the practices and the philosophies within that group of Buddhism.
Now, what do you actually do on Buddha's birthday, though? I mean, Christmas for Christians is, you know, there might be a worship service, but there's presents being given, there's all sorts of things like that. What do Buddhists do? And I'm sure there'll be different ways, of course.
Well, I suppose the tradition in Buddhism is a little bit different because there's this relationship between the lay Buddhists, the lay Buddhist families, and the ordained monastics. So generally, what you might see at Buddhist festivities is the lay people giving gifts and useful articles to the temples and to the monks and nuns. So that present giving is more in the direction of sustaining the teachers who sustain the spiritual traditions rather than passing down gifts to the younger ones. We don't have something similar to Christmas. It's really all about the significance of the spiritual teaching, having good time, eating, and yes, it's more about the spiritual tradition than the gifts.
So far, my nephews and nieces are not convinced. Will they get a birthday present?
Birthdays are significant in Buddhism, but the Buddha's birthday is more about remembering just what's more important in life.
Well, let's go to those cultural things. Now, if I just throw my mind across it, the sort of food, because food's important in Buddhism, you often see the offerings being given to monks, you see it in media all the time. But I know Sri Lankan food is tremendously good. Now, there's going to be a lot of Sri Lankan Buddhists in Australia, I imagine. Chinese food, Japanese food, Lao food, some great Lao restaurants. What sort of ethnicities are going to be represented around Australia, right around this country?
Well, the good thing about Buddhism in Australia is it's just so multicultural. You've already mentioned Sri Lankan, Lao, Chinese,
Vietnamese,
Cambodian, Japanese.
There are Indian Buddhists too, aren't there?
There are a few. There are also Singaporean and Malaysian Buddhists and Indonesian Buddhists. And even though they're probably a minority in Indonesia and Malaysia, they also have an amazing food culture. So food probably underpins a lot of the festivities during the month of May. And we eat well.
What's happening around the country then? I did notice a Sri Lankan food fair was happening, I think, in Perth. But what sort of things in the major capitals?
Okay, well, generally it's a mixture of the serious and the more festive. The serious things would be the specific ceremonies that are performed at different temples by the ordained monastics, the monks and nuns.
Washing the Buddha, I think, is one of them, isn't it?
Well, what you're referring to is bathing the Buddha. And bathing the Buddha is the ceremony that lay people get involved in to celebrate the birth of the Buddha, particularly in the Mahayana Buddhist traditions.
Can I ask, though, what's that about, bathing the Buddha? What does that mean?
The significance of being born. The Buddha, when he was born, it was a very auspicious time, and during the month of May we celebrate the birth of the Buddha. But the bathing of the Buddha is sort of a sign of respect, to respect the birth of the Buddha coming into the world, who later in life will gain enlightenment and start to teach. But the bathing is something that you do for a baby. Water is used as a blessing.
So that's a ritual, a specific ritual connected to the birth. What other things, when you say festivities, food fair that I mentioned in Perth, what other fairs, say Brisbane, say Adelaide, say Perth?
Well, I think it's generally a case where a lot of Buddhist groups become a lot more visible. So in the town centres in most of the state capitals across Australia, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, Perth, even Adelaide, you'll see ceremonies in the main town centres. Buddhist groups may be doing some cultural shows. So it's a mixture of the cultural as well as the Buddhist specific, which is more to do with the chanting and remembering why they're there, which is the Buddha's life and teachings.
Now, I did see an example of that. There's a Vesak procession from the State Library of Victoria to Melbourne Town Hall on the 21st of May. There are events like these big processions happening, aren't there?
Yes, these processions are done in different ways across Australia. And what we're trying to do, with the introduction of what we're calling Buddhist Festival Month, is two things. Firstly, to make it more aware across the community that we are celebrating the life and teachings of the Buddha. So we're trying to publicise the idea that May is the month that Buddhists are celebrating. But secondly, we want to go beyond some of the cultural forms that is sustaining Buddhism, and maybe to explain some of the teachings, some of the basic teachings of the Buddha. So we're trying to bring that element in across Australia by introducing what we're calling Buddhist Festival Month.
And does that mean, though, that you can, like, Google your local Buddhist centre? I mean, where does a person go if they're in Brisbane or Adelaide or Melbourne or Perth or Darwin? Where do they go to find out this sort of stuff?
Well, the Buddhist community in Australia is organised as, you know, probably between 200 and 300 Buddhist temples, Buddhist societies and meditation retreat centres. And the vast majority of those are members of the various state Buddhist councils. Like in New South Wales, there's more than 100 temples, societies and retreat centres that are the members of the Buddhist Council of New South Wales. So if you want to find out where your local Buddhist centre is, then you can contact your local Buddhist council in the different states, or you can go to the website of the Federation of Australian Buddhist Councils, which has all those Buddhist councils wrapped up together.
So you've got a whole month of May. What are you personally doing in the month of May to mark this?
Well, the most significant thing for us in New South Wales is what we're calling the Buddhism Expo. This month in May, we've conducted the expo in two locations. The first week in May was in Cabramatta, and the second weekend was in Marrickville, put on to explain what the Buddhist practice and Buddhist lifestyle is all about. And that includes introductory workshops for people who know nothing about Buddhism, an exhibition which includes a bit like an art gallery explaining the culture of Buddhism and the teachings, but also a lot of Buddhist art has been collected for this expo, and some multimedia, some interviews of Buddhists explaining what it is to be a Buddhist. So we're conducting this free expo over a couple of weekends.
Brian White, President of the New South Wales Buddhist Council, thanks for joining The Good Life.
Thanks, Noel.